VoiceOfTheTruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. European Union official Donald Tusk says the bloc will not renegotiate the Brexit deal with the UK government. He's calling a summit of his own to talk about Brexit issues for this week. Tusk is the president of the European Council. He tweeted that, quote, "We will not renegotiate the deal, including the backstop," that's talking about Ireland, "but we are ready to discuss how to facilitate UK ratification." Meanwhile, Britain's Prime Minister Theresa May put off tomorrow's planned vote on the Brexit deals that currently exist because she simply doesn't have enough support in Parliament, and she openly admits that. The White House and Congress have just under 2 weeks to approve new government funding. They have until next Friday to work out a compromise. The president's still seeking more money for his proposed border wall. Democrats are balking. OPEC trying to drive crude oil prices and announcing a production cut of 1.2 million barrels a day. This is SRN News.
We are expecting a cloudy day, but no rain. Our high will be 52 degrees. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a 1 in 10 chance of rain. The low tonight will be 40. And for tomorrow, partly cloudy, a 10% chance of rain. The high tomorrow, 59 degrees.
Good afternoon. Welcome to SWAT Radio. I'm Brad Sykes here with my good buddy Doug McCary. And Doug, it is good to be back in the studio after a few days away up in, North Carolina is where I was. So you know what happened in North Carolina last weekend?
Well, now they just, Diego, I didn't even know we named winter storms. You know, I mean, now we name everything. I mean, there's winter storm Diego, 200,000 customers in the southeast without power. There's hogs running all over a highway. A truck carrying a bunch of hogs overturned in the snow.
Is that right?
They're running everywhere. It says the storm's responsible for 3 deaths in North Carolina, 1 in Tennessee. They had over 120 accidents in North Carolina because of the storm, car accidents. A trucker's missing after his tractor trailer ran off U.S. 70 into the Neuse River up there, which is an area I used to fly over when I was in
really?
The Marine Corps.
Yeah.
And so apparently this thing has dumped more snow in a short time than they get in a year.
Well, we went up to to Greensboro on Wednesday, early Wednesday, and it was probably about Thursday that we got word that there's a storm coming in, and we were supposed to be there till Sunday. And Hannah, so we were at a swim meet for Hannah, my youngest, and when she finished up on Saturday, Vic and I said, let's pack it up and let's head on back. And good thing we did.
It is, or you wouldn't be here right now.
Well, I mean, Saturday night, I think around midnight, the snow started coming down in Greensboro, and of course, that whole area, I think 18, 19 inches of snow. Yeah, you're right. More snow in a two-day period, in a 24-hour period, actually,
than they've had
all year.
Yeah, and get this. They said in Mount Mitchell in northeastern North Carolina, 34 inches of snow. That's almost 3 feet of snow, which is unheard of. During that short amount of time, the commander of the State Highway Patrol up there, Brad, said that they had responded to 500 collisions, over 1,000 service calls since midnight Saturday. I mean, they have, it's been pretty crazy. And in Virginia, they got 2 feet of snow up there. And so it's just been a kind of a crazy weather month, and here we finally got a little cold. It hadn't been cold. It was 80 something degrees a week ago, man.
I know it. Well, it's a little chilly out there, and I'm dressed appropriately with my jacket on, but we were kind of wondering when this was going to finally get here. Well, it's here.
Well, Diego is bringing it in, and there's a lot going on, but first I have to say happy anniversary to my bride of 35 years today.
Brother, today
is the day.
Right?
35 years.
Anniversary, Lori.
She is not feeling well. She's had a sinus infection for what seems like forever since I've been gone to Israel. She got a cold and turned into a sinus infection, but she is my sweet bride of 35 years.
She is awesome.
I'm just grateful that she said yes.
Yes. You know, I am too, Doug. I've heard, I think it was Gary Thomas said, our wives and our children are one of the greatest tools in God's hands to make us into the men he wants us to be.
Well, I've always called her my heavenly sandpaper, and she's had some pretty, I mean, she's needed a power sander to get some of these rough edges off, but working.
For me, it's more like, what are those, like a jackhammer. You know, I need a jackhammer every once in a while.
Yeah.
Hey, real quick, just before we kind of get on, prayers go out to the Adams family. I don't know if you, Sir Jack Adams, who's a JSO officer.
No, I saw that. Yeah, his wife was killed.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and anyway, I'm good friends with a couple of JSO officers who are on his kind of their team, their motorcycle guys, and. Yeah, they were on their way back from the Mandarin State High School
football
team.
Yeah, they won. Didn't they win?
They
won.
And they got hit by a drunk driver, and she was killed. I don't know if it was on site. I'm not sure, but she has passed.
And he was in surgery. Yeah, I heard he's pretty
broke
shook
his neck
up to,
or something. Again, don't quote me on any of that, but he's in rough shape.
And he's probably not even really aware of what's going on with her yet. And so we need to lift them up.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, we need to pray for that drunk driver lady.
Well,
too.
I saw this morning, she's a chiropractor in town.
Yeah, and it's just, it's a terrible tragedy. And apparently a lot at this time of year, those kind of things happens a lot of times when people are going, they're either depressed because of things going on in their life, and it's Christmas time, and what should be a time of hope and celebration for a lot of people isn't. And I just want to remind you that, that alcohol is a further descending depressant in your depression. It does not help. It will only complicate and make it worse, and can end up being consequentially life-changing for a lot of people, not just yourself. Yeah, in this case, it was a tragedy. And so we just lift up the Adams family. And my brother was telling me, Brad, in Mississippi, a young 19-year-old promising kid who had a soccer scholarship to one of the state schools was killed in a car wreck at 2:00 in the morning, again tied into alcohol. So really, be vigilant.
Yes.
Always be defensive when you're driving. Be aware. People are so distracted, and this time of year they may be drinking, and you just need to be aware and just pray for these people. I mean, that family in Mississippi, and then this terrible tragedy for the Adams family. And, one of the people in Mississippi, my brother said, made the statement, God did this is God's fault. God did not put the alcohol in the person's hands. He did allow it, but a lot of times these kind of things are a result of our own sin that brings consequences to other people, and we just
need
to
know in scripture God turned them over to their own desires
a lot of
and God can turn us over to our own desires, and it's going to be destructive.
Yeah,
it just is.
Well,
whether it's alcohol or it's any other kind of drugs, anything can be destructive.
Well, and we live in a very confusing time. In fact, I don't know if you listened to the briefing today. It was talking about the Scouts. Actually, the Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts are suing each other, and it's going all the way to the Supreme Court because there was an article in the Washington Post that here's the headline: Scouts recruitment war raises questions about what it means to be a girl or a boy. Now, that's the title of the article, and the bottom line is we are so confused as a nation over this issue because we've tried to go in and make statements about things that are not really debatable or have not been debatable for the last 20 years, and now all of a sudden we're trying to change God's creation and things. And this is where it leads you. And in fact, here's what Mueller said. He said, when you engender this kind of confusion, the confusion's not going to stop. It is in the basic sense, not something you can declare will end at this one particular point and will not go on. It's going to spawn deeper confusion. And that's what we have here. And here's how it all started, Brad. There was a typo in a briefing that was posted on an email list for Boy Scouts in Virginia. But to the Girl Scouts, it was a flag. It was a red flag. The Boy Scout volunteer from a United Methodist church was inviting young men and women to an information seminar. And he sent out this, and part of the nationwide recruiting push as the Boy Scouts prepared to include older girls for the first time in their history. Mm-hmm. In fact, they went to the Supreme Court to keep it only boys. They've done that before.
Who, the Boy Scouts have.
They've also gone to the Supreme Court to keep homosexual scoutmasters and participants away. Mm-hmm. And they won both of those cases. But somewhere along the line, they said, well, we're going to go a different route. But this guy was sending out this email, and here's what he said. He said he was inviting all the people that he sent the email to come, and he says, let's see, he says, what does he say? Give me that again. Lest one of our Girl Scouts BSA troops. Now, let's just assume that he says, this is what Mueller says. You've been a Rip Van Winkle, and you haven't been around not for the last 50 years, not for the last 20 years, but just the last 5 years. Mm. You know, he said, then what you hear when you hear one of our Girl Scouts BSA troops, in other words, one of our Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts of America troops,
yeah,
where BSA has always meant Boy Scouts of America, but what he said in this reports the label that caught the eye. It says, they were afraid that the parents would think the event was affiliated with the Girl Scouts. Now, they might assume that these two groups had merged, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, and it was, he said, we were told furthermore, it would be the first time in recent months that the Girl Scouts in the D.C. region have sent representatives in uniform to sit in on a dozen of recruitment events. And he goes on to say in this whole article that basically what the mistake he made was he did not include girls in the email that went out. And it was a typo.
Hmm.
And he had to correct himself. And so you got this argument now. The Girl Scouts are suing the Boy Scouts over this confusion. And it's insane. It's insanity.
Well, it goes to this idea, when we go against God's design, it's going to create chaos. And you even read about the article that you read, it seems like a month ago now, but it's probably only been 2 or 3 weeks ago since we've been on this topic of divorce, is the article that was written, 40, 50 years ago?
Armand Nicolay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Armand Nicolay, who basically talked about the fact that this is what you're going to see when you get away from God's design in marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is what we're seeing now just in Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts. I mean, how could you not at some point see this is going to create some problems? When you're allowing girls to be Boy Scouts and Boy Scouts to be Girl Scouts, I don't know if that's happened
yet. I don't think that's happened yet, but that's going to
it's whether it's the LGBT community,
QRST.
Yeah, all these things, it's not God didn't design it that way.
No, he didn't. And for years, think about it. The old motto for the Boy Scouts, and it was raising young men mm-hmm. to be leaders, right? Mm-hmm. Well, the lawsuit by the Girl Scouts accuses the Boy Scouts of waging a covert campaign to recruit. It's not covert. It's not exactly. Covert at all. They're actually out there overtly doing it.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Anyway, I just thought it was interesting. And again, it just shows how ridiculous it is, and the feminists are upset about it.
Sure they are.
So here you got the LGBTQ group fighting with the feminist group over this whole issue,
mm-hmm.
and I just think it's going to get more and more confused, like he said.
Well, it's part of the HRO issue that we've dealt with, at least locally. Is where does it end?
Yeah,
where does it end?
Well, when we come back, we're gonna look at you know, what we covered in SWAT last week, which is Matthew 19, 7 through 12. And as we go to break, just think about this. Does Jesus affirm divorce?
Ooh. Hey, join us. We'll be right back. SWAT Radio, 904-401-1413.
This program has the potential to reach millions of men each week. If you'd like to learn how you can support this unique program that is helping men understand the truth about Jesus through God's Word and how to impact their lives and the lives of others, then go to www.swatradio.com. Then click on the donate link to help SWAT Radio pass on the truth for the next generation. SWAT Radio is underwritten in part by IPC Technologies. IPC Technologies offers IT and communication solutions. They offer help to organizations in selecting and implementing on-premises technologies, cloud-based solutions, and carrier services. IPC offers end-to-end solutions. Their suite of services includes engineering and implementation of services, virtual CTO services, monitoring and proactive maintenance, remote and on-site support and consulting, and staff augmentation. You may reach IPC at 804-622-7233 and online at www.ipctech.com.
Joy to the world.
I'm so glad to be back in this studio listening to some Christmas music by the Pentatonix, which, by the way, I think there's a Christmas special on tonight. I don't know, one of the major networks. It's a Country Music Academy, I guess, their Christmas thing, and the Pentatonix are actually singing.
They're going to be there?
I think so. And
oh, man, I got to tell Abby. Abby loves Pentatonix,
yeah,
man.
I'm pretty sure they're doing it. In fact, I think Thursday night, Trans-Siberian Orchestra is here in Jacksonville. Thursday
really?
Night, yeah.
Well, and you know, Mannheim Steamer was here. It was here in November.
Right.
So, man, we're getting it all here.
Well, in fact, one of our guests will be on tonight at that Pentatonix thing is Michael W. Smith.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Michael W. Smith, Amy Grant.
Well, he sang at the Bush funeral.
Did he really? Yeah. I didn't get to watch any of that.
I recorded it, man. Maybe you need to have y'all over and come. It's unbelievable. I mean, just the thing, you know. In fact, I was going to share something, and now I was going to jump into this, but I want to go back and share it. That, you know, when the sailors aboard the USS Finback pulled George Bush out when he was a 20-year-old pilot, they had no idea they were saving a future president and a great president of the United States. I mean, that's because we can't see the future. We don't know. We never know how impacting one life, how it can affect a country or the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, I just think that, you know, especially when we think about the idea of marriage, our culture has been so influenced by what I call European pagan standards and even the Roman standards that we have forgotten our Hebrew roots, our traditions, and those ideas of a faith community. In fact, Brad, I was thinking about this. Why think about our view of marriage? The predominant view of marriage, purpose for marriage, what would you say it is for a young man and a young woman when they think about getting married? What do you think dominates their viewpoint? Like what is the weighing factors in their viewpoints of getting married? What do they think
about? I was going to say, it's if it's directed at me, it's a different answer than it was 33 years ago.
Well, yeah, but
ago,
go back to I'm thinking about our country as a whole, what most people think about.
Yeah, this person's going to make me happy.
Yeah.
This person, and we can even spiritualize that and say, this is God's person for me.
Yeah.
Now, it is.
Especially when you put the ring on.
For what purpose?
Yeah.
What is the purpose? And I think as a 20-year-old, or in my case, I was 20, almost 23. I got married young, 22
years old. I was 22, too.
I would have said this was God's purpose is that she would complete me and make me happy.
Thank you, Jerry Maguire.
Yeah, exactly.
You complete me. But the thing is that I think most people, most young people getting married believe that the reason they get married is they found someone that will meet their needs, that they can then meet their, I'm not going to say they don't think they can't meet needs back, but they think about just having their needs met. And I shared with the guys last week, I believe God's view is that a man and woman come together, they're brought together by God as the basic cell of a faith community to fulfill his mandate to reproduce that faith community, be fruitful and multiply, and also to rule together over that area of influence that God gives them so they function together. And, you know, I didn't know that when I got married. I mean, to be honest with you, I was attracted to Lori physically. I was attracted to her personality. Mm-hmm. She, you know, she loved the Lord. And I thought, wow, this is a person that can meet my needs. And I can go through life with her. We can be partners in life, but I didn't see it as part of a bigger picture. And I think that's one thing that struck me most about Bush's funeral. What you hear over and over is this theme of he always viewed what he did had a bigger purpose than just fulfilling anything he wanted. Mm-hmm. And I think that if we can communicate one thing to the younger generation, it's that when you get married, God's bringing you together to reproduce a faith community and build into that basic cell that models to the rest of the world what it means to be followers of Christ in a family, you know? Mm. And I just think, I wish I'd have known that, you know?
Well, thankful that God, by his grace, redeemed us and gave us his word. What we believe so strongly about SWAT is that it is a community of men who are gathering around the word of God, not because Doug knows everything or Brad knows everything. In fact, we're students as well. And our goal is to equip, encourage the men in this community to get in the word.
Well, most of the time we're learning as we go, man. We're just sitting here. As we're teaching it to ourselves, reminding ourselves of this truth.
Yeah, I told the guys the other day when you gave me the privilege of teaching the SWAT Bible study is that I don't know whether or not God's gifted me to do that, but he's definitely given me a passion for his word because as I prepare to teach, I'm learning myself. I can't serve God's word if I haven't first digested it myself.
And he's given you a calling, obviously, you've been doing it for a long time.
Yeah, I have. Well, but I love, that's what I love to do. And I'm glad you've brought this into the context of marriage, even though it's right here in the scriptures. We're not going to jump over it. We're going to deal with it.
Well,
it's
we
a topic
are.
That's
and you
not
know,
popular.
It, well, no, in our culture, because here's the thing. You have two extremes in our culture within the church, and I'm speaking specifically within the church culture. You have people who have gone through a divorce are given the scarlet letter D, and they're kind of cast aside.
Mm-hmm.
Or the flip side of that is you have people that basically, because they've been divorced, they don't want to hold anybody to any standard because they feel like they can't. And that would be, that's ludicrous. That's like Paul, because he killed Christian going, well, I can't really hold anybody to any holy standards because I'm a sinner. Mm. We're all sinners. Mm. But Paul had a life change that changed his focus and direction, made him realize by God's grace, he was in the family of God and he wanted people to experience God's grace, but he also understood the validity of holiness and a standard of purity as believers that gives our life credibility when we talk to people.
Sure, absolutely.
And I think we have these two opposing you know, polar opposite ways of dealing with it. And there's somewhere in the middle that Jesus comes along and says, listen, you may have blown it. Divorce is not the unpardonable sin, but it was never God's desire for you to be divorced. It's okay for us to say that, but we feel afraid to say that sometimes because we're afraid people are going to feel condemned. And we don't have any condemnation for anybody. Jesus didn't condemn. In fact, he told the Pharisees, you're adulterers. You know, he told them back in Matthew 5, he says it again in this passage today, we're going to see that. But what we don't want to miss is God's view on marriage. This standard of purity, we held up last week, or last time we were together, from the first six verses, and I just want to set the background before you read the passage again, is what's going on is Jesus leaves Galilee, he's headed to Jerusalem, and he's walking along, and the Pharisees come up to him and say, hey, is it true that you can divorce for any reason? And they're trying to bring him into an argument between followers of Hillel's view, which says you can divorce for any reason, and followers of Shammai's view, which says you can only divorce for adultery. And the question was should not have been, can you divorce for any reason? It should have been, can you divorce?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that, but they had already, see, the Pharisees always live for the exception.
Yeah.
They were always looking for the loophole. And so, and what their motive was, they were trying to discredit Jesus with the popularity of the group, maybe even bring Herod's sword against him for speaking out on, against this unlawful marriage that he was in. But we saw last week that God calls us to honor marriage as sacred and permanent. And he gave us four what I call table legs to stand that on. One was that God's original design we saw from the first few verses where Jesus takes him back to Genesis 1:26 through 29 was one man and one woman. And then the second leg was he commanded man in marriage to stick like glue to his wife in relational loyalty and to leave his mother and father and cleave to his wife. That marriage relationship is second to no other on earth except Jesus Christ himself. Mm-hmm. And then the third leg was he said that they are one flesh. That means inseparable, permanent union, monogamous with opposite sex.
No longer two, but one.
Yeah, just one. And then the fourth thing was he said, what God joins together, don't let man separate. And so those were the legs of that divine relationship. And he's calling us to this lifelong covenant marriage relationship. And today, this week, actually, today we're going to look at the first key to that. But I think he gives us three keys in 7 through 12. One of them is a tender heart. That is one of the keys, I think, Brad, to a lifelong covenant marriage relationship is a tender heart towards your spouse.
Hmm.
And then the second thing is recognizing our own need for a Savior. And we're going to look at verse 9, how we come to that. And then the third thing is allowing his word to be our authority. And so in this passage today, he deals with this issue of divorce, but it's really more about marriage than it is about divorce itself. Mm-hmm. And he does talk about eunuchs there, which means celibate. And we'll talk a little bit about that, but that's not the primary thrust. The primary thrust of the passage is dealing with marriage and God's intention for it to be permanent, long, and long-lasting and lifelong and sacred and permanent. You know?
Well, the Pharisees were looking for an out. Jesus is saying, here's the end.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think it's very true of us in our society today, Doug. You know, when we open the Word, it's not an advice. It's not good advice or good counsel. It's God's Word. It's a command, and that's not something people like to be told.
Well, you know, we come from a very individualistic standard a lot of times where we determine what's right and wrong instead of the community.
Yep.
That's why communities of faith are so important. You know, the community of faith historically has had the purpose of holding people accountable in the community. And we talked a little bit about that. And when we come back, we're going to have you read the passage and we're going to get into what it means to have a tender heart.
Reminds me of that scripture. It says, and they did what was right in their own eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Are we doing that
Judges.
Today?
Oh, yes, yeah. We are.
Hey, glad you've joined us today here at SWAT Radio. We'd love to hear from you. If you want to call us maybe on the second or the third segment, you can call us at 1-844-777-SWAT. That's 1-844-777-7928. You can call us locally at 904 401-1413. Check us out at SWATradio.com or on Facebook at SWAT Radio Talk, Twitter, and Instagram, SWAT Radio Talk. We'll be right back.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew with Washington. More names have been emerging as President Trump is searching for a new White House chief of staff.
It was widely believed that the president's top choice for the job was Vice President Pence's chief of staff, Nick Ayers. But Ayers announced on Twitter that he'll be leaving the White House to lead a pro-Trump super PAC. Some of the names now emerging to replace the outgoing John Kelly include White House Budget Director Mick Mulvaney and Republican Congressman Mark Meadows of North Carolina. The president says he'll name a replacement soon. Greg Clugston, Washington.
The White House and Congress now have just under 2 weeks to approve new government funding. President Trump signed a budget extension until Friday, December 21st. The average price of gasoline on the way down over the past 3 weeks.
The average price of gasoline has now dropped 22 cents over the past 3 weeks. Regular grade is now $2.51. It is a drop of 40 cents over 3 months. And that current price of $2.51 is 4 cents below its year-ago point.
Stocks been fluctuating on Wall Street. Bankrate.com's Mark Hamrick says investors appear to be a little jittery over the possibility of a slowing economy.
Investors are concerned that the future strength of earnings and the future strength of the U.S. economy will not be nearly as robust as what we saw in 2018.
Technology companies were some of the early winners today on Wall Street. Snowed in Southerners making the best of a day without work or school, while officials warned that roads remain treacherous after a wintry storm dropped snow, sleet, and freezing rain across five states. Paul Zano in Wake Forest, North Carolina, says his dogs still need their daily walk.
Dogs need to go out and do their stuff. And they have fun playing in here.
Accidents on snow-covered interstates have caused major delays over the weekend. That was especially true on the interstates. Hundreds of flights were canceled in North Carolina. More of these stories at townhall.com.
Volumes picking up in both directions on the 295 East Beltway from 9B to the north side and North Main Street. 295, the East Beltway northbound is congested from Phillips Highway to Beach Boulevard. Bay Meadows Road is busy from 295 to Southside Boulevard. Cloudy this afternoon, tonight, and tomorrow. Today's high expected near 50, the overnight low down to 42, and Tuesday, mid to upper 50s.
Stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Home lay the world in sin and error upon till we and the soul for his word. Oh, oh, oh.
man, I'm sorry I let that run a little longer. I was just no, so I could, beautiful,
I
man.
I could listen to that. You know, one of my, well, that may be my favorite Christmas song of all time.
The night Christ was born.
Yeah. You know, Doug, I was thinking as she was singing, Jennifer Hudson,
yeah,
right? I was thinking when we had kids, and it's been a while now, my oldest is 30,
mm-hmm,
and we started reciting Luke chapter 2, mm-hmm, to Sarah when she was 2 years old. Now, keep in mind, I've got a, let's see, what are the ages of your grandkids?
Oh, my, 4.5, 3 and 2.5, and like 9 weeks and 4 weeks or something like that.
So our oldest is going to be 2 next month. And the next one is just had his first birthday. And then we have one that's obviously about six weeks old, I guess. But when Sarah was born, actually, when she was about 2 years old, we started to recite Luke chapter 2 to Sarah. And you know what's amazing is this, she's 2 years old at this time.
Yeah.
She could recite Luke chapter 2, the birth story, from memory at 2 years old. Now, here's what's interesting. You think about the music you grew up on as a kid, whether that was Christian music or just secular music. You know, the things that you say over and over and over again, you can recite years later. In fact, I was, when we had Jim Wharton on a few weeks back, you were out of town. I was talking with Jim about the value of memorizing God's word. And you know that now 30 years later or 28 years later, Sarah, all my kids can recite the Luke chapter 2 section on the story of Jesus's birth. And I don't say that to say, wow, isn't that impressive? It's the fact that that's a story that needs to be hidden in our hearts, mm-hmm, you know, and not our own translation, God's translation, mm-hmm, you know, that story. And to this day, if you asked me to recite that, I could recite that whole passage only because we wanted to instill that in our kids. It usually started right after Thanksgiving. We would start reciting that every night. And at a young age,
would you read the whole chapter to them, or just a section?
Luke 2:1-14, I think it is.
Just 1-14.
And what's interesting is, at a young age, our children have the ability to memorize stuff a lot better than you and I do.
They do, and I think, well, I think we sell them short sometimes.
Oh man,
you know?
Big time! So just for our listeners out there, if you got young children, maybe young grandchildren, read Luke 2:1-14 to them.
Well,
and do it every night for the next 10 to 12 days, and I'll bet you by Christmas, they could tell you the story.
Well, when I hear that song, A Holy Night and Night Divine, do you know Abraham, Moses, Jacob, Joseph, David, just list Isaiah, Jeremiah, Samuel, they all longed to see what happened that night.
Mm.
We get to see it looking back. They had faith looking forward.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just to think about the God of the universe coming, and actually coming as a man.
Mm.
It's a very, very powerful thing that I think sometimes gets lost in the other stuff, the trappings, I call them, of Christmas. And,
well, that's kind of why I brought it up. I think about just in my own life, Doug. I don't know about you guys, but it's busy. We're busy right now.
It's
I'm trying to run a business. We have ministry things going on. There's a Christmas party tonight. There's another one tomorrow night.
There's one Monday next week,
and I'll be there. Christmas. You know, it's just, you know, I think we get so busy, and it just comes by. It's here and it's gone. And we don't take that opportunity to just be reminded of God's gift, you know, at this time. I mean, you know, you think about gifts you got as a kid growing up. I still remember certain gifts that my parents gave me at Christmas time. They're just branded in my mind, you know, what a great experience that Christmas was. And yet, you know, we got the greatest gift of all time. And yet this season will come and go in many people's lives. And they'll never stop and just reflect on who he is and what he's done for us.
Well, and that's the greatest thing that anybody could do. I shared the other night, my girls danced, by the way. Congratulations to all my girls that danced in the Nutcracker, Miss Felicia, for the 23rd Nutcracker at UNF. Mm. It was a packed house. And, at the beginning of it, I shared about my time with Miss Felicia's husband, Fred.
Mm.
And early on in our conversations, I shared the gospel with him and talked to him. And, he believed. And if he could come back from where he is now, because he passed away a little over a month ago, he would tell everybody, don't reject. Don't reject. And I shared that the two times that Jesus cried in scripture that we know of that was revealed to us is one, he wept at Lazarus's funeral.
Mm-hmm.
But then in less than a week, he also wept over Jerusalem.
Yeah.
So I think he wept at the sadness caused by sin and the painfulness of that. But he also, I think, he wept at the rejection of people, of the gift that he gave. And, it's mind-boggling to me how people can stiff-arm such a gracious, gracious offer.
You just got back from Israel. And I've been looking at pictures of people who went on the trip, just remembering us being there a year ago. And I remember on the walk down off the
Mount of Olives
down
to the garden
toward Jerusalem. Yeah, we stopped at the garden. That for me, that was the most emotional part of my trip over there, was being reminded of the scripture that talks about how Jesus wept.
Mm-hmm.
As he looked from where we were walking, as he looked toward Jerusalem, he wept. And then, of course, the garden is a whole nother passage. But the reality is that, I wept there knowing that what he must have been going through in that garden, awaiting his ultimate death on a cross for you and me.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, interesting you brought that up.
Well, and, that's one of the things that in the context of marriage, when you see that God wants us to be a faith community representative, all throughout Scripture, illustrated by God in his relationship with Israel and Jesus in his relationship with the church, he uses marriage.
Mm.
And, marriage is a crucible for working through forgiveness and understanding and gratefulness. And that's what really we see in this first thing we're going to talk about today, is a tender heart. Our hearts should be tender, but yet they're not. And Jesus addresses this. So why don't you read Matthew 19 and start in verse 7, go through 12, and let's come back and look at this tender heart that he says will be, I think, one of the keys to a lifelong covenant relationship.
Mm-hmm. All right. Beginning in verse 7, chapter 19, verse 7. They said to him, why then did Moses command one to give a certificate of divorce and to send her away? He said to them, because of your hardness of heart, Moses allowed you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery. The disciples said to him, if such is the case of a man with his wife, it is better not to marry. But he said to them, not everyone can receive this saying, but only those to whom it is given. For there are eunuchs who have been so from birth, and there are eunuchs who have been made eunuchs by men, and there are eunuchs who have made themselves eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. Let the one who is able to receive this receive it.
So he goes back. He starts off by saying, they said to him in response to what he taught on marriage, they said, well, why did Moses command divorce? Well, they're going back to Deuteronomy 24 because the argument was over this issue between Hillel and Shammai. But if you go back and read that, Jesus never commanded divorce. He says here, Moses allowed it, but he never commanded it. In fact, in Malachi 3, it says God hates divorce. He doesn't mm-hmm. want it. And so he's telling them he allowed it because of why? The hardness of your heart. As we go to break and we come back, ask yourself this question. Am I hard-hearted? Am I hard-hearted in my marriage? Am I hard-hearted in life? It's a question we've got to ask ourselves when we come back. I want to give you three things. If you can ask God to give you these three things, hopefully it'll make your heart softer.
Well, glad you joined us today. If you want to call in, 904-401-1413, SWAT Radio, and we'll be right back.
If you'd like to contact SWAT Radio, the toll-free number is 1-844-777-7928. That's 844-777-7928 or 844-777-SWAT. You can also listen to this program through the WTRJ The Truth app from the App Store or over the Internet by accessing www.swatradio.com. We'll be back shortly for further discussion and to take your calls.
We're so grateful for having people like Tom Neal Truck Company sponsoring SWAT Radio. Tom Neal Truck Company is located at 417 Edgewood Avenue South in Jacksonville, Florida. Tom Neal is a full-service franchise truck dealer for Freightliner, Western Star, Volvo, Isuzu, and Sprinter vans, offering new and used truck sales, service, parts and truck rental and leasing to the North Florida and South Georgia truck market. More information on Tom Neal Truck Company is located at www.tomneal.com. That's www.tomnehl.com.
Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye, oh, come ye to
back to SWAT Radio. It is SWAT Radio.
Yeah.
We've been on the Christmas song about 3 weeks now.
I love it.
Totally enjoying it.
Yeah. Come all ye faithful.
In Pentatonix, is that right?
To Bethlehem, yeah.
Good stuff.
We were in Bethlehem just a couple of weeks ago,
Oh, man. Gosh, I missed that.
House of bread, and he is the bread of life, man. Well, you know, Brad, I asked the question about a tender heart. I think a lot of times in marriage, we get emotional, we get upset, we get, you know, especially, at least I can speak for myself as a man in my particular relationship. Sometimes when I don't intend to communicate something and it's perceived by Lori, I get frustrated that I'm misperceived and I'm trying to explain instead of recognizing that she's hurt by the misperception of whatever it is, whether it's miscommunication or what, she's hurt. And I don't always have a tender heart toward that. Sometimes my heart is like, we just need to get over it. You ever struggle with that?
Oh, man, do I ever. I mean, Doug, you know this because you and I have talked about this at length, but just for our listeners, I mean, I think it's important that we share just our own life experience. It's part of why we do SWAT is just to say, hey, we're just normal guys who struggle, you know, just like probably a lot of our listeners out there. And the reality is 35 years of marriage, by the way, congratulations. Yep. It's your wedding anniversary today. And Lori, maybe even more congrats to you.
She ought to get just a saying. Medal, man.
You know, life, marriage in particular, has been the great, you use the word crucible. It is, without a doubt, the greatest tool God has used in my own life. And I got a long way to go. I'm reminded that I am a work in progress. But the marriage is what God has used, I think, in probably the most effective way in my own life.
Mm-hmm.
But it's through the experience and the things that we experience as a married couple that God's going to bring into our lives, circumstances, could be children, could be jobs, could be bills. I mean, just name it. I mean, there's all sorts of things that can create, if we allow them, to create division. And yet, I need the reminder. I need a tender heart as I look to my wife, even all these years later. You know, it's easy over the years to become hard-hearted toward our mates.
Well, I think we take them for granted. We take blessings for granted. I just think when you read some of the verses in the Bible, Colossians 3:15 says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful." Hmm. I just think gratitude, when you have a lack of gratitude, it fuels a pride in us a lot of times to say, I deserve something different. I don't deserve what I'm getting. I need more. I want more. And we can begin comparing our spouses with the perception of other people's spouses. Because, Brad, we don't see reality a lot of times. We see, especially with Facebook and social media, we see what people present. And it can give the illusion, oh, life is better. The grass is greener. You know, and I say this to guys all the time. The grass may look greener, but it may be a higher water bill. You know, whatever that means. Or somebody said, yeah, it takes a lot of manure to make grass that green, O2. You know, so there's lots of things you can do with that. But the bottom line is we should be grateful. And Colossians 4:2 says that, you know, when we pray, Paul says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, being thankful, I think, and grateful is a key, one of the keys to the key. It's a key to a tender heart. When you have a grateful attitude, I think it softens your heart instead of making you proud.
You know, we during Thanksgiving, we did a week, just Vicki and I, just talking about Thanksgiving, looking at scripture about being thankful in everything. You know, I think that's a challenge for us as the church, is what are you thankful for? Mm-hmm. You know, because a lot of people would say, well, I'm in a bad marriage. How can I be thankful for that? Mm-hmm. Or my children have gone astray. How can I be thankful for that? Mm-hmm. It says thankful in everything.
Yeah, well, you know, it does say thankful in everything. And I think sometimes it doesn't say be thankful for everything. Mm-hmm. It says be thankful in everything. And I go back to 2 Corinthians, something Paul said. He says in 2 Corinthians 1, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, the Father of mercies and God of comfort, who comforts us in our affliction so that we can comfort others. For as we share abundantly in Christ's suffering, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we're afflicted, it's for your comfort and salvation. If we're comforted, it's for your comfort." And he goes on to say they were so burdened that they despised life itself. Hmm. But he says this was to make us not rely on ourselves, but on God. Yeah. And, you know, in a marriage, like I said, it being a crucible, sometimes we're such complainers, and that makes us bitter. Hmm. And saying, God, you know what? Thank you for reminding me that you've given me this opportunity to serve. You've given me this ability to be a blessing to somebody, to love like Christ said, love the church. You know, the next thing, Brad, is understanding. 1 Peter 3:17 says, "Husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, for they're a weaker vessel." Not that they're inferior, but they're delicate. Mm. And we are to be understanding with them, sensitive to their physical and emotional needs. And quite frankly, I'm not done a great job at that all the time. You know, I've struggled with that.
Lou Priola wrote a great book. I think it's called Faithful Husbands or something like that. But he deals with that verse in particular and this idea of living with your wives in an understanding way. He uses that word understanding as a word of learning. You know, one of my children graduating from college next week. Will be up in Nashville. In fact, on Thursday, he graduates Friday, and I'm excited about it. Congrats, obviously, to Jake. But he spent the last 4 years learning. And, you know, we don't ever stop learning. And I think my wife has been such a great study mm-hmm. in my life. And I didn't study her well early on. It took a guy reminding me what this verse is saying.
Because we think we know, know what they like to drink, or we know what they like to wear. We think we know them. And I think what I'm learning is Lori always wants me to keep studying.
Well, and that's the idea, is we live with them in an understanding way. We live with them as students of our wives, which brings me, hey, by the way, we have a caller in. Pam, are you with us?
I am. I'm so embarrassed. I had no idea that I was going to be on the air.
Well, no, we're so glad to have you.
That's okay. We're friendly. We're pretty easy.
I was just going to say something funny, and I thought I'd be telling someone who was going to relay it to you. But you were talking about if the grass is greener on the other side and all that.
Yeah.
And I've always heard if the grass is greener on the other side, then you're not watering your own.
Wow.
Oh,
that's very good.
Can you write that down, Doug? Yeah. That's good stuff.
That's good. That's good. And so, Pam, coming from a woman's perspective, how would you say we can water that grass on our side?
And we're all ears.
You know, everybody is so different. And I am really not prepared to speak right
no,
now.
No, that's okay.
But I remember hearing a little while ago about the love languages and things.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that what speaks, I have a sign over my kitchen sink. I don't know if this is appropriate or not, but it says, no woman ever shot a man while he was doing dishes.
Oh, man. That's pretty funny.
Okay, so
we need to have Pam call in more because she's got some good ones here.
Hey, Pam, you know, you're right. I think what your statement was, everybody's different. And I think it even goes to what we were talking about there in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, about live with your wives in an understanding way. It's that they're not all the same. In fact, my wife, after 33 years, is a different woman than she was 25 years ago or 10 years mm-hmm. ago or even 2 years ago. She is different, and God has commanded me to live with her in an understanding way, which sometimes there was a season where, you know, we'd get up from the dinner table, and my wife would just jump right in and start doing the dishes. And now probably with the last 5 to 10 years, I spend more time doing the dishes, and I know that blesses her. I love that sign.
That's great. Well, hey, Pam, thanks for being a listener, and thanks for calling in, and I hope you have a Merry Christmas.
Thank you. You too. And bless you guys for what you're doing. It's so needed. It's just wonderful. Bless you, bless you, bless you.
Well, thank you, Pam.
Thank you. Have a good one. Well, you know, Brad, the last thing, I wrote down these three. They're obviously more, but grateful, understanding, and forgiving. Matthew 18, it's no coincidence that this passage on marriage follows that parable that Jesus said about the guy who was forgiven much who failed to forgive. And man, you know, I'll just tell you, in my life, Lori has been used, man, so much to teach me of what it means to forgive. She is not a grudge holder. She has been such a wonderful model of the love of Christ in my life. And, you know, every marriage is different, like Pam said. Everybody's different, but we're all in something bigger than our own personal needs. And that was the other thing about the funeral, that both Bushes, 43 and 41, said that at different times they realized that people were watching them, and they had to put their personal pains or personal things aside to model for other people. And I think we forget that in marriage sometimes. We're so consumed with our selfishness and our self needs that we forget. And I just praise God for a spouse that many times over our 35 years has modeled what it means to forgive. So grateful, understanding, and forgiving. Well, I think if you have these things, ask God for them if you don't have them, so that your heart can be tenderized towards your mate and be a great example to other people.
Well, this is the gospel. You know, it's when I do marriage counseling, it's usually what I talk about. It's the gospel. Do you understand the gospel?
Yeah.
Because that's how we're to live toward our mate. Doug, happy anniversary to you and Lori. I'll see you tomorrow, all right?
If you missed a SWAT radio broadcast this week and would like to hear any show in its entirety, then go to SWATradio.com. Click on Past Shows, where you can listen to the broadcast. Also, if you're looking for a band of brothers that gather around God's Word to be a part of, then go to SWATradio.com and email one of our hosts, and they can get you plugged in to one of the local SWAT Bible studies. Tune in next time to explore how SWAT Radio is strengthening spiritual warriors and spreading His truth.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville.